Blog Talk Radio.
And welcome to Circle Sanctuary Network Podcasts, brought to you by Circle Sanctuary, one of the oldest nature spirituality churches in the United States, connecting people of nature-centered paths around the world. Join us through the week for a variety of shows discussing various topics, celebrating the divine in all of its forms through nature worship, rituals, education, and building bridges of community. And welcome to Nature Mystic with Selena Fox, a podcast where we enjoy encore presentations of topics covered by Circle Sanctuary Senior Minister Selena Fox from her previous podcasts, Circle Craft Studies, Nature Folk, and others. In tonight's encore from May of 2013, Selena discusses perspectives and experiences working with ancient and contemporary symbols, deities, sacred sites, rituals, charms, and other folkways for enhancing fertility of land, humans, animals, crops, communities, and endeavors.
Welcome to Circle Craft Study with Selena Fox. This is Selena Fox, and tonight we're going to explore the multifaceted realm of fertility magic. I'd like to begin with a chant, which we've used at our Beltane celebrations and in some other rituals. The chant is simple, and it focuses on the union of goddess and God. Earth and sky, earth and sky, goddess, God, unify. Earth and sky, earth and sky, goddess, God, unify. Earth and sky, earth and sky, God and goddess, unify. So mote it be. Many people celebrate Beltane at the point between spring equinox and summer solstice, which actually occurs a few days after May 1st in the Northern Hemisphere. And so tonight's show, on May 7th, we celebrate that tradition. The springtime, beginning with the spring equinox at the 20th, 21st, 22nd, sometimes of March, going to the longest day of the year, summer solstice, peaks at Beltane time. Fertility magic can be done year-round, but it is most often associated with the springtime. And of the times in the spring, many people look at Beltane as the time to focus on that dynamic of life. Tonight we're going to explore some old traditions, some new customs connected with enhancing fertility, symbols, lore, deities, ritual practices, folkways. Fertility magic has the intention to enhance fertility in one or more forms. Tonight we're going to take a look at the fertility of land, human fertility, fertility of animals, agricultural fertility, fertility of crops and other vegetation. In addition, we're going to take a look at other kinds of fertility and some of the dynamics to keep in mind as we create fertility rites and magical practices for our loved ones, for ourselves, for the planet as a whole. So we'll also be looking at fertility in the forms of projects, fertility within groupings of humans, communities. Fertility, that is creativity. When most people hear about fertility magic, they tend to think of some form of human fertility. And certainly since the most ancient of times, humans have turned to imagery, worked spiritually with some forms of the divine for fertility, have engaged in a whole variety of practices in an attempt to enhance fertility and to bring about conception of a human baby in the making. Calling on deities is part of fertility magic for many pagans today. In some cases, a couple may focus on a particular form of the divine. Often, it is working with multiple divinities. Probably the most common pairing is to work with Mother Goddess and Father God. Depending on the pagan tradition, that may be Mother Earth and Father Sky, or it could be Father Earth and Mother Sky, or Mother Sun and Father Land. Different patternings. For some, moon and sun god or goddess, lunar god or goddess. Some people work with the great mother, the great goddess in that form, and conceptualize her as being ultimate source from which all gods and goddesses and other forms of the divine proceed. Some traditions work with the divine female in the form of great goddess, great mother, and the god as great father, green man, horn god. Some work with green goddess and green god. And for others, they prefer to work with some form of the divine that may be more androgynous or having both a male and female aspect, such as Dionysus. Hermes gives his name to a Herm. And in classical antiquity, in Old Greece and Old Rome, you would find that people would bless and protect their land and their household with Herm images, which were actually phallic images that were part of public art, as well as art that would appear at homes and estates, villas, and rural residences. Amongst Celtic peoples, including into the Middle Ages with Gothic cathedrals, a fertility image of Crone opening her vagina appeared above doorways in cathedrals. Green faces, often green men, sometimes green women, also appeared in these Christian cathedrals. A bit of the old pagan fertility magic continuing on in new places. Some people, as they seek to have pregnancy, will have an altar that's a fertility altar, and they'll put one or more sacred forms that they're working with, gods and goddesses. There might be a particular kind of animal spirit, maybe photographs or mementos from ancestors that are on the fertility altar. And prayers and charms and other workings are done with the fertility altar as a focal point. And once conception does happen, then the fertility altar has a bit of a makeover, as the focus then is on nurturing the baby in the making and the mother, as well as the father and the family. There's blessings of protection and well-being. And then at the time of birth, the altar may actually be transformed again and taken to the birthing center or the hospital room if one's giving birth in an institution. Or if it's a home birth, then the fertility altar turned pregnancy altar now turns into a birthing altar. Some other things that humans have done to enhance human fertility is to take a look at diet and add some enriched foods to one's diet, or specialty foods that have been wildcrafted. It's especially important for there to be good nutrition for both mother and father when conception is looked for as a goal, and not to start the good nutrition the day that one seeks to do the conception, but to actually start it months or at least weeks in advance. Red raspberry leaves, fresh and dried, are often used internally by mothers as part of preparing for pregnancy, but they also have been used in charms along with other herbs such as red clover blossoms and motherwort. Sometimes certain kinds of mint and lavender, sweet-smelling, flowery substances are woven together and put together in charms. Some will eat a blessed apple every day as part of the quest for fertility. Some will have an image of a pregnant goddess on their pregnancy altar. Some have both goddess and god images, and sometimes the goddess and god image may actually be part of a single sculpture. So there's many different ways to connect with the divine, to work with charms, and to work with altars. Another thing that humans have done to enhance their own fertility is to make pilgrimage to sacred places. At Circle Sanctuary Nature Preserve, we're located in South Central Wisconsin. We actually have several places that people go to that are seeking to conceive. We have the Shrine of the Great Mother and the Shrine of the Great Father, and they're fairly close to each other. They're on our Shrine Walks trail. And actually, the Shrine of the Great Mother got started many years ago by a woman who was seeking to conceive. And she had gone through the best that mainstream medicine at the time had to offer. She had done her own personal work. She and her partner had done work together, and still no conception. She came to a training program that I was presenting, and this was back in the 1980s. And during the course of the training, the idea came to her to give a gift to the land. We already had the beginnings of a mother goddess shrine on our land under one of the rock overhangs. And she went to this shrine of the Great Mother in its early stages and placed a mother and child sculpture that she had brought with her to work on during the retreat that I was facilitating. And she left it there with her prayer that she would be able to conceive and that the child would do well and it would be a healthy pregnancy and a good birth and the child would grow up in a good way. Well, I'm happy to report that shortly after the training concluded and she had made her offering, she ended up getting pregnant, and she had a daughter, and the daughter is now an adult, and the legend of that magical pilgrimage is part of the family story, a true story, a true legend. Some other places at Circle Sanctuary Nature Preserve that people have gone to include Bridget Spring, dedicated to the goddess Bride Bridget Brige Brigantia, Saint Bridget, to some who are Christo-Pagans and Christian. She is a goddess with many attributes and ways of being, and the shrine to her is at a spring that bubbles forth naturally from the earth year-round. And people seeking to get pregnant have gone there, done prayers, have tied ribbons with their prayers and viewed in them on hoops that are near the spring. There are other places across this country and around the planet that have been used as pilgrimage places for getting pregnant. One of the best known of these is Bath, England. And it is said that if you take the waters from the naturally occurring springs that are in that area, you, with the intention to get pregnant, that this will help the process. Well, I know of at least one case where that certainly did work. Actually, a woman who was quite advanced in years, and much to the surprise of doctors, took the water at Bath. So certainly there are places and symbols and a whole variety of different things that humans have done and are doing to enhance their fertility. I'd like to share a few more. And these are from some different cultures. In Japan, there's the Kanamara Festival. It usually happens in early April. And literally, large phalluses are paraded through the streets at this fertility festival. Another tradition, and this comes from Africa, is the crafting of what some call akuba dolls. And these dolls are female images with large round heads, like the size of kind of a moon shape. And they are full-bodied but symbolic human figures. And they are specifically created to help bring on pregnancy. And I have seen these and know of people who have worked with them who weren't of the particular tribal culture that the art pieces came from, but still had good success. So the akuba dolls are actually now evolving into more multicultural fertility symbols. Beltane time has one of the biggest fertility symbols there is. It's the maypole, and maypoles can take different forms depending on whether they're English or they're Swedish. And the pole, obviously, is the male symbol, and the female is sometimes depicted as a crown of flowers, either at the top of the pole or sometimes at the base of the pole where the pole goes into the ground. Sometimes the placing of the pole in the ground is considered the female piece and the pole the male piece. Some see ribboned maypole dances as essentially representing female power, as that's wrapped around the male symbol of the pole. Others look at the dancing of ribboned dances around a pole as a joining of male and female necessary for conception. Some maypole dancing traditions, including at Circle Sanctuary Nature Preserve, actually will have couples who wish to conceive right after the maypole has been danced, rush the pole and touch their hands on the pole. We not only have that tradition, but we also have what I call a more universalist maypole fertility magic tradition, so that we will have the pole represent fertility as people want to connect with it in their personal lives, in their households, in their families. We've talked a bit about human fertility and some ways of working with that. Before moving on, I would like to mention a tradition of creating a small sachet or cloth charm bag, filling it not only with herbs associated with fertility for women and for men, but a bit of hair from the woman and from the man that are seeking to make a child together, energizing that charm, and then placing it under the couple's bed or near the bed until conception happens. We talked a bit about maypole and how that can be used to enhance human fertility. But the maypole has the fertility of land also connected with it. And at Circle Sanctuary Nature Preserve, when we dance the maypole, we not only do so to celebrate the May and to celebrate fertility and life in the greater circle of nature of which we're part, but to specifically dance the maypole so that the particular site, Circle Sanctuary Nature Preserve, with its 200 acres, is blessed. It prospers. It not only has fertility in terms of sustaining life and having life thrive of animals and plants that are there, but the maypole dance is also bringing fertility to community. And the maypole magic also being something that can bless creative endeavors, writing projects, organizational planning, creative art making and crafting, many different forms of fertility can all benefit from maypole magic. Morris dancing is a form of traditional English folk dance that has been connected with fertility. We have Morris dancers come to Circle Sanctuary Nature Preserve every year for our Beltane Festival. They're there on our main day of the festival, which is the Saturday. And they literally do dances to celebrate human connection with land and to bless the land and to bless the festival, which they are there. Some of the dances include using staves or sticks, ceremonially clicking them together, tapping the earth, throwing them back and forth. There's dances in circles, dancing in lines. In fact, one of the oldest maypole dances is a Morris dance called the Abram Morris Dance. And every year, we have this Abram round danced around our maypole. Now, this is a maypole dance that doesn't involve ribbon weaving. The ribbon weaving is actually said to be quite recent by comparison to the maypole, coming into vogue in the 1800s in the Victorian era. And certainly that is a common practice in 20th century places, America and the UK and some other parts of the world. But we actually work with the Morris dancers and every year do a much older form of dance. And we circle the maypole and there are dances. The dance involves going up close to the pole and then coming back and then dancing around partners and switching partners, and it's quite a lot of fun. Yes, there's complexity to it, but it's been something that we've used to bring fertility to Circle Sanctuary Nature Preserve, the land, as well as to our community. Some other things connected with blessing land include, in the springtime, gathering up debris, dead wood, dead grasses, and other vegetation that needs to be cleared away, and to do a ritual burning. Not only to clear away the debris, but some say that the burning can actually help the soil. And certainly that's the approach we take as part of our work with prairie restoration. For people that have gardens, a common fertility charm is to bury an egg symbol or an actual egg, hard-boiled or fresh, that has been dedicated for garden fertility and then lovingly placed, buried deep in the garden. Another tradition to help bring about fertility with the land at Beltane time includes working with a May court, the May Queen and the May King, representing goddess and god, and having them symbolically present is a reminder of the divine as mother and as father. At Circle Sanctuary Nature Preserve, we not only have a May Queen and a May King, but we also have a May couple who embody the spirit of Beltane. And our community includes people of many backgrounds and walks of life and sexual orientation. So part of my adding the May couple to our May court many years ago was to make it possible for same-sex couples as well as heterosexual couples that are bonded pairs to also become part of the May court. And from every year to year, we do a drawing and we have our May court by our maypole as we dance it. And part of their job, besides to representing the unity of goddess and God, is to help bless the land. So they are crowned with greens and with flowers, flower garland crowns, and sometimes at Beltane we also have a couple that will be getting married or have just recently gotten married, and that was the case this year as well. So we actually had a couple, a hand-fasted couple, join our May court as well. Probably the most well-known of the blessing of the land customs for fertility magic, in addition to Morris dancing and maypole dancing, is the old lore, the old tradition of couples going forth into the fields and having sex. That was said to bless the fields of a particular farm or of a community. And there's many tales told about Beltane revels, and the focus was not only on fertility, but joy and bringing that joyful energy into the land as well as into the community life that in ancient times was very much rooted on agriculture. Some additional things to look at are traditions of blessing agricultural life. So fertility for animals, fertility for crops. Sometimes there will be some type of fertility symbol painted on a barn. Those of Pennsylvania Dutch heritage have a rich ancestry in what are known as hex signs. They typically are round and they have symbols on them representing different concepts. And some of the hex sign art is specifically for rain, abundant rain, but not too much, for helping the crops, fertility images, and prosperity and good fortune. So one way of enhancing fertility for creatures would be to put a fertility symbol painted, or if it's on a big wooden plaque, actually attach it to the inside or the outside of the barn. Earlier in this life, part of my own work in rural life was to be part of a process of raising and caring for chickens. And I learned a fertility magic trick from some old farmers who were very steeped in folklore and decided to try it out, which is to actually use a marble egg, egg-shaped, looking like the size of a chicken egg, but made of stone, and in this case a marble stone, and actually put a stone egg in the chicken coop to enhance the laying of eggs by the chickens. Well, I kept that tradition up during the years that I was working with chickens because it seemed to be effective and work. Is there some explanation for why that tradition got started and why many people continue to do it? Well, if something works, people tend to share that and pass it on. Another symbol that's been used for agricultural fertility magic is that of the corn dolly. And the corn dolly is actually made of wheat. It's a wheat weaving. And there's different forms of wheat weaving art. And some are specifically designed to enhance fertility. Often it's general fertility, fertility of land as well as for enterprise. But some people will work with their corn dolly specifically for the particular crop of wheat or other grains that the corn dolly is made from. And there often is ritual done with the planting and ritual done at the harvest. Sometimes the corn dolly is made from the very first of the grain that's been harvested, and it's kept for a whole year and put in a place of honor in the barn. Sometimes it's made from the very last of the sheaves that have been harvested. People who work with plants may find it helpful to work with the green beings as green god and green goddess, having a particular image, having it in one's home, having it in one's land area. Another tradition for fertility is the blessing of seeds that will be planted. We typically do our seed blessing rituals at spring equinox, and then additional ritual work is done when the seeds are actually planted, which tends to be in May, depending on the crop and the type of plant. Some people will walk the bounds of their fields as they sing a song, do a chant, play a drum, do a rhythm, with the focus and the intention of fertility coming forth. For animals, some will work with the spirit of a particular type of animal. It, if one's raising goats, it would be the goat spirit. Or if one's raising ducks, the duck spirit. Or cows, the cow spirit. And to have some depiction of that spiritual force placed on a home altar or for livestock that are kept within a barn area, somewhere in the place where the livestock resides. These are just a few of the traditions that I've had some direct encounter with through personal experience and working with other people who have had their experiences. I'd like to, in this final part, talk a bit about enhancing fertility in other ways. And part of the reason that fertility magic is shifting on planet Earth really is connected with needs and processes that are unfolding. Humankind's population has been growing very abundantly. And unlike the situation hundreds and even thousands of years ago, where there was a real need to have very large families and to max out as much as you could the size of the tribe, the clan, the nation, we're now at a stage in being part of the life on planet Earth where too many people on planet Earth will actually start deteriorating the quality of life of not only humans, but the other life forms that make planet Earth their home. So for many people, the idea of fertility is shifting from human reproduction to human creative endeavors. Some people who have chosen not to have children in this life will work with Beltane fertility magic to aid them in their service work for the larger society of which they're part, may use that fertility energy to enhance creativity. One's an artisan or one's an entrepreneur, fertility can take the form of boosting the ability to think, to be inspired, to communicate, to negotiate, to collaborate. Fertility magic can take a variety of different forms besides human reproduction and blessing agricultural aspects of life and blessing the land. I think another aspect of fertility magic, given climate change and some of the other challenges that humans and other life are facing on planet Earth, is to do fertility magic so that life on this planet can thrive and be sustainable. So we'll talk about some environmental fertility magic rites. Part of this can take the form of supporting projects that seek to protect the environment, to bring back endangered species and help increase their numbers. Here you're working with an animal fertility magic, but not in the agricultural realm, but more in the wild realm, and seeking to not only help the numbers increase, but to give support to the environmentalists, the environmental scientists and their helpers that are seeking to keep endangered and protected species alive and to help their numbers to improve. We also need to take a look at fertility magic and to be trained in skills of being specific as well as having skills that are more universalist in their mode. Not all plants that are growing in a field may be good for that environment. With globalization, with humankind traveling from place to place more rapidly, not only through automobiles, but through airplane travel, plants located in particular areas have more readily gone and spread to other areas. And some of those plants actually are detrimental to the environment. They start thriving and growing in a place that has no natural checks and balances for them, and they can start crowding out the more natural species. So some forms of fertility magic actually includes eradication of invasive species so that the indigenous species can thrive. So fertility magic itself is evolving and is being worked with in a whole variety of different ways. What are some ways that you can do fertility magic for your own projects? Some of the same things that are used in other kinds of fertility magic can be done to help one with creative endeavors. that could include having a creativity altar, having one or more images of the sacred there, doing meditative work to enhance creativity, spending time in natural places, and listening to the sound of birds and other creatures as a way of being one with that environment and the larger circle of nature of which we are all part. Whatever type of fertility magic you may want to do, it's important before you begin that you think about what your focus is, that you gather the items that you intend to use, that you create a plan for doing the work, and then as you have your preparations complete and you do your fertility magic, be sure as you conclude to give thanks and to truly let your working do its work instead of constantly checking on it. So part of that is finding a way to send out the fertility intention and to have a trust that it is working away. If you try to mail a letter by postal mail and you put your request in, you fold your letter, you put it in the envelope, you've got the stamp, it's addressed. That's the magic. But you have to do release. And that's also part of the magic. Because if you kept working the letter over and over and you don't get to a point of sending it forth and truly releasing and giving it time to work, you are interfering with the cycle that can enhance fertility. Some of the couples that I have worked with that have been trying to conceive and to help create charms for them, to have them do meditations together and doing ceremonies together, one of the things that I point out is to give themselves a break from trying to do human conception and not to be constantly working on that as a focus 24/7. There is such a thing as trying too hard to try to make something happen. Same kind of thing. You've got to put the letter into the system and let it do its thing. So same way with actually any kind of fertility and creativity workings is to do the work, but then to also have a time where you aren't actively pushing and trying to make it happen, but you are open to intuitive perceptions about what might happen next as part of your planning. What are some things to take from this fertility magic evening tonight? First of all, there's different kinds of fertility, and there's different kinds of fertility magic. Second, as we look at humankind and reproduction and fertility on planet Earth, we really need to find ways to fine-tune our environmental magic so that it is contributing to the well-being of the larger circle of life here and is in harmony with that. Another thing to take from our evening tonight, hopefully, are some ideas of some things to try, some altar work that you might do, to do some exploration of fertility charms, to do some exploration of the divine and some of the sacred names and sacred forms and sacred lore connected with fertility. And finally, it's important to be thankful for the abundance that we have at different levels of our lives, the abundance of possibilities within ourselves, the creativity within us. Thankful for the food and beverages that we take into ourselves as part of our daily life. Thanksgiving is an important part of fertility magic. And even if we may not garden or farm, we are kept alive by agricultural renderings. So give thanks to food and beverages and to see that as part of the fertility magic. And spend some time also thinking of self in relationship to the larger whole of which we are part, and to do some prayers of well-being, some fertility prayers for thriving, not just surviving, for not only humankind, but the larger circle of nature of which we are a part. Well, may you be blessed with creativity. May you be blessed with fertility in whatever way or ways you are seeking that support. Blessings to you, blessings to community, blessings to planet Earth and the community of life here, blessings to the larger circle of nature of which we are part. Blessed be. And in this last part, I welcome into our conversation David and Jeanette Ewing. Good evening.
Good evening.
Happy Beltane.
Yeah, happy Beltane. We've been celebrating Beltane here at Circle Sanctuary, not just on May 30th and April 1st, but we just had a whole weekend festival, and now we're continuing to do Beltane celebrations, but in some other ways. We have Land Stewards Night out at the Nature Preserve this morning. I did a Beltane hand fasting, legally binding, and also have had a chance to literally see fertility in action called The Woods Are Greening Around Here at Last. Flowers on the service berries, and we've got the oak trees are starting to bud leaves out. The maples and the birches have some of their vegetation out. I mean, it's just been really wonderful. And you all just came from a gathering celebrating Beltane.
We sure did. We were at the Fertile Ground Gathering, Beltane and Prince William Forest Park, which is in Northern Virginia next to the, it's in the National Park, next to Quantico Marine Corps Base.
That's wonderful. And, you know, that gathering has fertile right in its name.
The ground, yeah.
Yeah, and so, you know, we live in an area where you know, the demographic is as such that there are a lot of people that don't have children. And so one of the focuses of this particular festival is, I guess, fertility of growth in the community to, you know, foster seeds of connection within the community. And it's interesting that you were mentioning the whole thing about, you know, what alternatives there are to people fertility, because, you know, we live on a planet with over 7 billion people, and it is something that a lot of people in the pagan community are very conscious about, and, you know, a number of people that we know have elected to not have any children or have maybe only one child. And I've noticed over the years that the idea of fertility and that there are things that you can do to enhance your own fertility, you know, can extend far beyond simply the desire to have children.
Right.
Yeah, as someone that does not have physical plane children that I birthed in this life, I have really developed my own, take on fertility. And in fact, as I'm with others who might be asking me if I have children, I say, well, I don't have human children, but I've had land projects and writings. And certainly part of my own mothering instinct has gone forth into supplementing the diet of wild birds. And during earlier part of my life where I had cats as part of my household, certainly being able to work with mothering and parenting household creatures was also a way, an expression of that. And I think it's really important as we keep alive old traditions that we also evolve them, expand them, so that it isn't just same thing over and over, that basically it keeps traditions alive and keeps them vital. So I think it's really wonderful to for you all to be at gatherings, and certainly it's been part of our celebration of Beltane is to really look at the community fertility. And it is very important as we continue to be in a society that's increasingly digitized that we find ways of connecting on a person-to-person level and to allow communities to grow and thrive. And that's certainly a much-needed form of fertility within paganism and within the human experience as a whole.
Right.
Yeah, definitely. And, I mean, it's interesting that you should also bring up the thing about, you know, parenting your four-legged friends. I mean, as you know, we have had numerous cats, and we have 11 right now, and I mean, we are, and many pagans also see it this way, that they are the parents to their four-legged children, cats and dogs. Nearly everybody we know has at least one or two cats or dogs.
Right.
And they are their children.
Yeah, members of the family.
Yeah.
Well, I see that our time is almost done.
thank you for joining us on the Circle Sanctuary Network podcasts, presented by Circle Sanctuary and produced for all who follow the Nature Center paths. Join us here throughout the week for various programming connecting the community around the world. And please don't forget to watch for updates on the Circle Sanctuary website at www.circlesanctuary.org. And follow us on Facebook at facebook.com/CSNpodcasts. We can also be found on your favorite podcast hosting sites, such as iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify, and others. And until next time, many blessings.